After them two songs, there's something wrong. Amen. So I'm going to do my best this morning to brag on Jesus. He is the only thing worth bragging on. So turn your Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 10. We're going to use a familiar text. But I think the text is going to go along right with the songs that were shared this morning. Mark chapter 10. When you get there, please stand. Everybody's pretty much there, okay? Look at verse 17 with me. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." And Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." And verse 21 says, "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Father, we love you and praise you, and thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege and honor of coming to your house, to be with your people, and to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for everyone gathered here. And Lord, we thank you for the song service. We thank you for our specials. But now, Lord, as I stand before your congregation and break the bread of life, just give me the word to say that I might preach with boldness and truth, Lord, your word. And Lord, just speak to hearts this morning. If there's one amongst us that doesn't know you, I pray that through the preaching of the word, Lord, your spirit will convict and convince them of their need of salvation. In fact, Lord, if there's any need whatsoever, when the word of God is proclaimed and the invitation is given, we pray that they would come. Father, you've heard the prayer requests that have been spoken. We just ask that your will be done with each one. And again, Lord, I hide behind the cross asking you to bless the message. I love you and I praise you. Give me where I fail you. Draw me closer to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. I cannot think of a worse place to go than hell. Now, I know there's a lot of folks out there who don't believe there's such a thing, such a place, but there is. Understand hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Understand it's a place of torment. Understand it's a place of separation. And the worst part of that separation is you're separated from a loving and merciful God. So it's a bad place. Amen. And I wouldn't want to go to hell. How about any of you? But can I tell you, there's even something worse than hell. You say, "Oh no, no, the Bible says heaven, hell, eternity." Yes, it does say that. But no, there is a worse place. It's hell going there with heaven on your mind. Think about that for a second. That's what I want to speak to you about for a few minutes. You see, this instance that we've just read is about a rich young ruler that literally went to hell, but he had heaven on his mind. But he's not the first one. You see, Judas was at the portal of heaven, the door of heaven, and he went to hell. Felix had heaven brought before him, and Felix said, come back at a more convenient season. King Agrippa, heaven, right there within his fingers and his grasp. But he said what? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And then, of course, Festus said, Paul, you're crazy. The Bible and those things have made you mad. But yet, he was right there. And you know what they all had in common? They all went to hell with heaven on their mind. And I can't think of being in a worse place than that. But before we throw rocks at them, listen, how many people come through those doors of the church and they hear the Word of God preached and proclaimed, knowing they need to trust Jesus as their Savior? They go out those doors, they live their life in sin without giving it a second thought concerning eternity, and they die and they go to hell. But they go with heaven on their mind, because they've heard. Now, the Bible tells us that there was a rich young ruler. That's what we read here about a young man. And by the way, all three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, describe him. Matthew says that he was rich, which, that's not a bad thing. If you got money, unless you put that money before the Lord and eternity. He was young. Nothing wrong with youth. In fact, it sure does go. Young people, listen to it. Take it from us. It goes by fast. You blink your eyes. You were in high school. You were playing ball on Friday night. You graduated. Next thing you know, you're grown up in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. And it's just that quick. So enjoy youth. Enjoy the time you have, but enjoy it wisely. Make sure God is on His throne in your life. Enjoy it wisely. So he was young. He was rich. And the Bible says he was a ruler, which lets us in on the clue that, believe it or not, he was a religious man, because if he was a ruler, it means that he was a ruler in the synagogue. And he was well thought of by everyone. In fact, mom and dad were probably really proud of this young man. Here's a young man that had money. Everybody knew who he was. He was religious. He was moral. But there was something missing. And you can have all of those things. You can have money. You can have fame. Everybody can know your name in the community. You can be religious, you can go to church, you can teach a class, you can preach. But listen to me, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to be miserable and you're always going to be searching. And this young man knew, even though the world standards, he had it all, there's something missing. And what was missing was a relationship with the Lord. What was missing was peace with God. And you know, there's a lot of people out in the world today, those that think about eternity, even though they got everything else, they know something's missing, because they're not happy. They don't have peace and joy and contentment. And then, of course, there's that group out there that doesn't even think about eternity. Brother, I would say you've run into a few of them, haven't you, over the years, door knocking, hadn't even given a thought about eternity. But see, they should, because I assure you, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Listen, we're all going to die if the Lord doesn't return in our lifetime. But they don't think about that. They live for the now. So, notice what the Word says. And when he was gone forth into the way. And by the way, he's talking about Jesus there. And the way he's talking about Jesus was in the middle of the road. Couldn't miss him. That's what the way is when you're in the middle of the road. And look at what it says here. And it says, there came one running, and kneeled to him and asked him a question. What did he ask him? He's fixing to ask him about something that he didn't have an answer for. In fact, it's amazing how smart man is. And God gave us knowledge. And we can do a lot of things, huh? We can build satellites. We can put a man on the moon. We can garner power from the sun and the wind and even the rain. We can do many things. We can operate. We can replace a heart. We can do facial reconstruction. We can do many things. And we have the answer for many things. But listen to me. There's one answer that no man can answer. There's one question no man can answer. And that is, how do I get to heaven? Amen? Listen, man can't figure that out. Man wants to. Man thinks that if he does enough good works, if he does enough dues, I'll get there. But that will not get you to heaven. And again, the answer, how do I get to heaven? Well, what did Paul and Silas say to the Philippian jailer? You see, he asked the same question this young man's asking. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And what did Paul say? He says, well, you got to join the synagogue. And you got to make sure you keep the law. You don't break the law at all. You make sure especially you eat what you're supposed to eat. Leave that hog alone. No, that's not what Paul said to the jailer. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and your house. But it's all about faith in Christ's atoning work on the cross. Faith, trust, belief. That's how simple. But here comes this young man, rich young ruler. He sees Jesus in the way and he asks a question. He says this, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now, first of all, notice he said to Jesus, good master. And of course, the Word of God in Matthew tells us that Jesus said, there's none good but one, save God. There's only one that's good. But you see, the problem that the rich young ruler had, now, I'm not going to throw rocks at him because at least he came to the right person. He came to the right way. He had things like he should have. But he just didn't quite fully understand. You see, when he said good master, he was thinking that Jesus was just a good moral man, just a good teacher. But beloved, listen to me. That's why Jesus said, there's none good but one, and it's God. You see, understand, rich young ruler thought Jesus was one thing, but didn't consider him to be God. Understand this if you don't get nothing else this morning. You'll never be saved until you know who God is. You'll never be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ till you know that He is God manifested in the flesh. Anybody that denies the deity of Jesus Christ is lost. They can claim to be saved all they want to, but you got to know who Jesus is. He's God. Remember Brother Jim McGill telling me, first time he went to India, you know, there's Muslims there, there's Hindus there. And he said he talked to this young man in a village. And he said they talked for quite a while, but he shared the gospel with him. and he got saved. He said the sinner's prayer. And Brother Jim was fired up, you know. All right. Yes, Lord, I'm doing what you've led me to do. Because he was kind of questioning, wanting to make sure he was in God's will. And by the way, we should all want to make sure we're in God's will, doing what God wants us to do. But anyways, the man said the sinner's prayer. And he asked him, well, how do you feel? He goes, I feel wonderful. He goes, not only do I have Muhammad, now I got Jesus too. And Brother Jim goes, no. He goes, I think you've misunderstood. He goes, it's not Jesus and they, it's Jesus only. Amen. And most people out in the world today think that it's Jesus plus someone or Jesus plus our works and our own efforts. And that was the problem with this rich young ruler. You see, he was a ruler in the synagogue. He knew the law, and no doubt he kept the law. He was religious, but the thing is, religion doesn't save you. It's the blood of Jesus only. That's right, sister. Only. So he comes up and he kneels, which, hey, again, he's doing the right thing. He's going the right way. He's going to the right person. He's showing the right respect. He kneels, but he did not recognize who Jesus was. There's lots of people this morning out in the world today. They've heard about him. They've read about him. But they don't know him. Amen. All around him, but don't know him personally. Now, look at what it says. Look at what Jesus does. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that's God. Okay, we just kind of went over that. And he says, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Now, I hope you get this. I've preached this passage a lot over all the years. But the Lord showed me something that I hadn't seen before. We look at those commandments and we say, well, wow, since he's in the synagogue, he knows the law, he's okay. I mean, that's why he said, hey, since I was a child, I've done those things. But did you notice the law that he's talking about, the Ten Commandments that he's talking about? It's Ten Commandments concerning what man does to man. So he was right with man, but he wasn't right with God. Amen. And that's why he come to Jesus in the first place, seeking eternal life, because he wanted peace with God. Listen, you'll not have peace till you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to know God. And I want to tell you, once you know who he is and you accept him, there's nothing greater than knowing you are at peace with God through Jesus Christ, his Son. Be able to lay your head down at night and not worry about drawing your last breath. Jump in your car, go down the road and not worry. Hey, if I'm called out of this old world in a car wreck, I'm going to be with the Lord. I mean, that is worth all the tea in China. Amen? Now, notice, what Jesus is trying to do is get the rich young ruler to recognize he was a sinner. That's why he brought up the Ten Commandments. Because in the eyes of the rich young ruler, he was a moral man. And he was thinking, because of him being moral and righteous and by keeping the law and by being good, he was thinking that because of it, God would just give him salvation. Listen, you and I do not earn salvation in any fashion. It is a gift of God, and it is through grace, through faith. It is not our works. Since I was a young child, I've kept all of these. Let me just tell you, you can be a church member, you can be a good husband or a good wife, you can be a good worker and neighbor, you can be all of those things, but listen, those things will not get you into heaven. You must be born again. And I've run across people over the years when I've knocked on doors and when I've spoken to them that have the same type of attitude as the rich young ruler. Hey, I've done all of this since I was young. I'm good. I'm moral. I've ran into people telling me, well, I don't drink. I don't beat my wife. I'm good to my family. I pay my taxes. I go to church. Surely, if anybody's going to get to go to heaven, it's going to be me after all. I'm a saint. I ain't like some of those others. Surely he's going to let me in. Listen, there's only one way to become a saint. And you're not going to heaven because of what you did. You're going to heaven because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross. So why are you trying to earn it? Listen, we could never work long enough or do enough to earn eternal life. It's a gift. Now, verse 20, he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. And then Jesus, beholding him, I love this, loved him. You say, well, he was a sinner. So are you and I. But he loves us. That's why he went to the cross, out of love for you and I. The Bible says that he loved him, and he said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Boy, Jesus knows the heart, doesn't he? You see, had a lot of possessions. He was rich. The world was his oyster. But Jesus looked into the man's heart. And he saw that he loved those possessions more than he loved God. And that's why I said, yet you lack one thing. Sell everything you got and give it to the poor. And then you'll have treasure in heaven. You see, Jesus didn't pull any punches. You see, Jesus knew, hey, let go of your grip on those possessions. Don't let those possessions become your God. But you got to let go. And I'll just ask you this morning, what are you hanging on to? What's keeping you from coming to Christ? Sometimes he asks us to let go of those things. He wants them removed from our life. But there's other times, nope. He won't take all of your possessions. But listen to me. He expects you not to put those things before him. You let go of what's got a grip on you. A lot of times we have the attitude, well, I can't live without that. Be surprised. You get saved. You know what? All of that stuff that you used to do, You don't miss it and you're repulsed. What was wrong with me? I was in a hog pen. Well, some folks like to play in the mud. But I like being righteous by the blood of Jesus. I don't like to play in the mud anymore. And I tried that turning over a new leaf. I'd done that so many times before I finally got my act together and truly recognized I was a sinner. And Jesus died and took my place on the cross. And then when I got saved, I stopped pretending. But I did that turn over a new leaf. Can I tell you something about turning over a new leaf? Because I thought I was pretty much an expert at it. Because every year I turned over a new leaf. Of course, you know the example of a pig. I was raised around pigs, and they'll get dirty. You can clean them up, but they're going to go back to the mud hole. But I'm going to use another example. You can have a dead body there, and you can comb that body's hair. You can put cologne on it. You can put a nice suit coat and tie. And I mean, it'll look good. And it'll look sharp. But in a period of time, it's still going to rot and decay. Why? Because that's just what corpses do. It's the same way with our hearts. You see, we were born sinners. You can clean the outside, but it's not the outside that needs cleaning. It's the inside. It must be the heart. And that's what he's trying to do with this rich young ruler, is bring him to the place that he recognizes he's a sinner, that he doesn't deserve to go to heaven on his merits, but he needs to accept Christ. And if he does, he'll go to heaven based upon what Christ did for him. Notice what it says. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. You want to see where the rubber meets the road? That come, take up the cross and follow me. You see, lots of folks think that after they get saved, well, I got my fire insurance, I can sit down, I'm going to heaven, and that's good. No, don't work that away. You see, when a person is truly born again, they become a new creation in Christ. And by being a new creation in Christ, they want to serve the Lord. They have a desire to take up that cross and follow daily. Now, listen, as time goes by, it happens to the best of folks, and I'm talking to the saved here. As time goes by, sometimes we've been carrying that cross for a while. We think, I just think I'll sit down a spell. Lord won't mind if I just put it down for just a little bit and just kind of stretch. And the problem is, when we set it down, it's harder to pick back up when if you'd have just kept on with the cross. I've been tired. There's been time. I guarantee you, folk, and I'm talking about all of us that show up for the revival. By the time the week is over, we'll be wore out. But oh, what a way to be wore out. Amen. Oh, it's wonderful. Young man, let go of your grip. Get your grip off your possessions, your fame. And all of that, just let go. sell your possessions, give to the poor, and then take up the cross and follow me. Jesus told him what he needed to do to be saved. But this, one of the saddest responses I've ever read in Scripture. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved. What does it say? He had great possessions. You see, he came asking the right question, seeking the right person that could tell him how to get to heaven. But when he came to it, and when Jesus told him what was required, the Bible says, He was sad, and he was grieved, because he had great possessions. And if you'll just go on down reading there in chapter 10, on past where our text was, you'll find out what Jesus said to the disciples. He said it'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Possessions. Those things to this fellow was more important than eternity. You see, he made a fatal mistake by not receiving Jesus as his Savior. And I've read the Word. It doesn't say anywhere in the Word that this man got saved at a later date. No, he had his opportunity. He passed on it. When he died, he went to hell. And the sad thing is, he went to hell with heaven on his mind. Could have been saved. But he made a mistake. I can't help but think as he come to the end of life, as his youth passed, as his body began to become frail and ill, I can't help but think as he held on his grip to those possessions, that when he drew his last breath, and just as a rich man did, opened his eyes in hell, being in torment, I can't help but think in his mind, and by the way, you can think in hell. You'll remember. Amen. You're going to remember every opportunity for all eternity that's going to be playing over and over. Every opportunity. I heard Brother John preach this. I heard Brother John preach that. I heard that song. And I heard that song. I heard a Bible study on the radio. I heard every sermon, every lesson taught in Sunday school, BTC, every devotional. Every time you had an opportunity. I guess what I'm trying to say is this in close. It would be terrible to go to hell when you know what you got to do to be saved. It would be terrible to know that God loves you so much that he did everything within his power to prevent you from ending up there, but you couldn't let go of your grip. The world. Sinner friend, be saved. You don't have to go to hell. You can come to Jesus and he will forgive you, he will save you, and he will give you eternal life, and you'll never ever have to worry about hell. Won't you do it? You say, well, I'm still young. The world has a lot to offer me. The world has nothing to offer you but an eternity separated from God and a place prepared for the devil and his angels, hell. That's all the world has to offer you. But Jesus offers you life and life abundant. Jesus offers you forgiveness. He offers you grace, and he offers you mercy. So what will you choose? What will you choose? Jesus is in the way this morning. He stands right up at this altar. Are you going to rush to him? Are you going to kneel before him? And are you going to say, Lord, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life?